All right.
Veronica's short.
Welcome everyone, both in the room and on remote and watching from the outside. Welcome to the April 24, 2025 meeting of the Judicial Branch Budget Committee. Thanks to have everybody here today to address the matters on our agenda. I just want to remind everyone that the meeting is open to the public and it is being recorded. The meeting is being conducted in person, with some people attending virtually, and members of the public can watch via a listen-in only video feed. Budget Committee members and others who may be presenting today or answering questions, please remember to unmute yourself prior to speaking and also to minimize background noise. Please mute yourself when you're not speaking. Also, please identify yourself prior to speaking for purposes of the recording. All right, with those introductory remarks, Ms. Cowan, will you please take roll?
Judge Mormon.
Present.
Mr. Yamasaka.
Yes, present.
Justice Fujisawa.
Here.
Justice Hill.
Here.
Judge Armendariz.
Here.
Judge Bakke.
He's here. He's stepped out for a moment, but he's present.
All right. Not the
I don't think Judge Compton's going to attend today. That's my understanding.
Judge Hernandez,
here.
And here.
All right, great. So we have some initial matters. First of all, we have the minutes from the March meeting, March 14th. If someone has had a chance to review the minutes, would like to make a motion, I'd love to hear it.
Yamasaki moves approval.
Yamasaki second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion or questions? All those in favor then of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, the minutes have been approved. We'll just initially ask Ms. Cowan, did we receive any public comment?
No, we did not.
All right, thank you. That concludes the public comment portion of the meeting. We do have some items on the agenda to discuss, but before we do, we'd like to get a budget update from Vodko Budget Services, Mr. Diodorovich. Close? Yeah.
Thank you, Judge Mormon. Appreciate it. I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad everybody is able to make it here safe and sound. And for those of you joining remotely, hopefully everything is good on the audio. I wanted to give you a budget update as to where things have gone thus far. You know, the budget that the governor proposed had a partial restoration of the $97 million reduction, $40 million for cost increases. But all of that was couched with a lot of caution from the governor at the time that the press conference was conducted on the 10th. A lot of those issues are still with us, unfortunately. And as the governor was interviewed last week, talking about revenues, and his Department of Finance press person talked about revenues and the concerns about impact of tariffs on the markets and how we're so reliant on upper income earners. There's a lot of concern and some discussion about the May revision revenues being lower than were projected in the governor's budget, with no specific issues about scope or magnitude. Yesterday, someone I follow who's in the assembly budget side of things said revenues to date are above forecast. And that is a reflection of how strong the markets were performing last year. And depending on what day you want to talk about the budget and the revenues, it's either a good day or a bad day. And so the last 3 days have been good days, but last week when the governor was talking, they were some bad days. And so there's just so many things that are really swinging the market. And given that we are so reliant on those upper income folks, it's their gains that make and fuel our budget. And so I would say that, you know, there are risks, you know, that there are conversation, I'm sure, about sort of sensitizing people to what the May revision may look like. We're going to continue to advocate that, you know, the restoration needs to sustain itself. The $40 million, we didn't get any increase last year for budget while state executive branch employees were getting raises. And the $40 million is you know, half of what, you know, state employees are going to be getting in terms of the $40 million is about 1.6%. for trial courts. So it's, you know, it's really important for us to, you know, to push on the budget writers at the Department of Finance about sort of where we've been in this whole budget. And, you know, again, you know, $55 million is not a small sum of in terms of the reductions, especially that we haven't really gotten the kind of, you know, support otherwise overall from the budget. You know, there's been investments in care. There's been other sort of priority investments, but not the sort of core funding that we really need to sustain court operations. So, you know, we don't have any information from any specific plans, but, you know, we are working with the Department of Finance on what our budget looks like, and you know, leading with the chief, you know, as our advocate, and all of the work that you all do. I'll now turn a little bit about to the what's happened in terms of the legislature. And thank you, Judge Mormon. Thank you, Judge Rogan and Daryl, to come to these hearings. But a lot of the work that folks don't see publicly is where they're meeting with the staff. We've had a number of non-public meetings where we talk about the budget and make our pitch about the criticality of the funding needs. And, you know, all three of them have done both great in those settings and then echoing them in the public. And, you know, the legislative process is one in which it's evolved over the last decades, with especially with vote thresholds and supermajorities and where we see the work happening. But it's, you know, it's important that we do present ourselves strongly in these public meetings, but it's also the great work that we do in these individual meetings with the staff that's really, I think, continues to support our budget needs. So I'm expecting that there's going to be something happening in the budget. If you reduce revenues and they've already tapped the rainy day fund, things are going to happen. Does that mean that they don't want to pursue, you know, the $40 million? I can't say yes or no. There might be other options that they'd like to talk to us about, but we do ask that we are part of that decision making process so that we can influence the outcome of the budget while advocating for more money, like for Prop 36. So it's we have more mandates and the prospect of potentially not as much revenue coming our way. We really need to demonstrate that you can't have us do more with less. I think tomorrow's presentation from the DAC on the resource assessment study is going to show the complexity that has changed in our world, and that is not a less world, it is a more world. And if you want and expect us to provide access to the courts, we need resources.
And the budget's going to drop, we think, on the
May 14th by statute. It must be on or before. I believe that's a Wednesday. And so there is a, you know, we have a placeholder for the council on Friday to talk about the budget. I think I would recommend it to Shelley either way, so that you all are all aware and know going into the weekend, if folks, you know, locally are reaching out to you about the budget, that we are informing you as best we can with the details that are known coming out. But then it's always an evolution where we may not always know everything, but we try our darndest to inform you and then provide you more input and information as we find out. So we're doing all we can, and we appreciate everything that everybody else is doing as well.
Well, thank you to you and your team. Excellent. Work that goes on 365 days a year. So thank you, Vlatko, Angela, everybody. All right, if we have any questions, otherwise we'll move to the items on our agenda.
Can I ask a question? If I
could? You bet.
Vlatko, one of the questions that I have relates specifically to the sense from both the legislature and the Department of Finance. It's always helpful for both houses to be aligned. Is there some consistency in their takeaways from where things are and such?
Relative to our budget, I think they were, and Judge Mormon and Judge Rogan and Daryl have been there to see it. They understand and appreciate. I think there's been even questions raised by some of the members about what we need more. And Prop 36 was a particularly important conversation in both houses. One dealt with them separately, and Judge Tapia did a nice job, along with Francine Byrne, to talk about the impacts of Prop 36. But then we also had it in the Assembly, and I think there was a lot of, you know, nodding heads when we spoke about, you know, we have impacts. We are part of the system and process and need our resources, and we're working with the Department of Finance on that. So long answer to a short question is there's no real division. But you don't know what the final sort of in the room negotiations are. And we just are hoping that, you know, we are putting, as we always do, put our best foot forward. But we're one of many priorities. And, you know, the issues on expenditures, and I shouldn't have touched on that. Thank you for sort of the question is, we also have expenditure pressure from the health care side in the state. And I think maybe some of you, if you've seen any of the news, you know, billions of dollars above the forecast and budgeted amounts for health care access. And then we also have the concern about any pullback on federal funds to the state. We're already hearing about some of these grants at risk. One just the other day, we were talking about them. This burn skiff, it's millions of dollars that we've been working on to get out to the courts, could be a risk. And we thought that that was something that wouldn't have been, you know, in the crosshairs because it was a bipartisan pot of funds. But, you know, everything seems to be in the crosshairs right now. So it's revenues softening, expenditures growing, and potential federal pullback. And then the economics that come along with tariffs. There's a lot, and here we are, but we are, I think, are seen as an important part of state government, but where we rank against all the other priorities, it's a challenge.
Okay, thank you. All right, then we will move to the items on our agenda. We have some action items to address today. So first turn to item number one. This concerns the allocations from the State Trial Court Improvements and Modernization Fund, commonly known as IMF, for fiscal year 25-26. As I mentioned, this is an action item. The materials did appear in your packet at pages 5 through 13, and we have Judge Conklin on Zoom and Mr. Castillo from Budget Services to make the presentation today. So, Judge Conklin, Mr. Castillo, I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks so much. Good afternoon. It's good to see everybody from a distance. Sorry I'm not in the room, but this is very effective as well. So Judge Mormon has already introduced this first of three items that TICBRAC brings to you this afternoon. And as she noted, this is an allocation of $47.9 million from the state IMF fund. This is essentially to support the good work of the branch through all its different entities, including Budget Services. And we have Luis Castillo here, as was noted, and I will turn it over to him. Luis.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Luis Castillo, and I am a fiscal analyst in Budget Services. Agenda item number one, found on page 5 of the materials, request consideration of the recommended fiscal year 2025-26 State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund, also known as IMF, allocations for judicial council offices totaling $47.9 million. This is an increase of $1.3 million from the fiscal year 2024-25 allocations and represents a 2.7% increase. The item also requests consideration of the recommended delegation of authority to the administrative director of the Judicial Council to authorize baseline technical adjustments to each office's IMF allocation up to a maximum 10% of the allocation value for personnel services and rent adjustments approved by the Department of Finance. The report provides a summary of the allocations for each of the 31 programs that support the trial courts and request funding annually from the IMF. Additionally, there is information explaining the requested adjustments to the allocations from the previous year's requests. Attachment 1A on page 10 of your materials details the IMF allocations for various programs and provides the change in dollars and percentages for previous years. Attachment 1B on pages 11 and 12 provides detailed descriptions for each of the 31 programs requesting funding. Finally, attachment 1C on page 13 is the IMF fund condition statement. At the end of fiscal year 2025-26, the IMF is projected to have a fund balance of $31.3 million, as shown in column E, line 25. Based on current revenue projections, the fund is estimated to be able to support the requested allocation level for fiscal year 2025-26. The recommendation presented on page 9 is to approve the fiscal year 2025-26 allocations from the IMF in the amount of $47.9 million and to delegate authority to the administrative director to authorize baseline technical adjustments for consideration next by the Judicial Council at its July 18th business meeting. This concludes my presentation. We have office leaders and program representatives present in this meeting to answer any questions that you may have on the allocation request.
All right, thank you.
I turn it back to you, Judge Mormon.
Okay, so the materials in our packet, very thorough. Thank you, Mr. Castillo. Materials were great. Did anybody have any questions? Otherwise, it's a good reminder of all the great programming that goes on by the Judicial Council. And one of our responsibilities with regards to IMF is to ensure all our best work that it's solvent going forward. So it's always something we're looking at. And thank you for the information regarding the solvency. So if there's no questions, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll
second.
All right, Judge Hernandez moved and Justice Hill seconded. Is there any further discussion?
Only for context for folks is that there was a time, and thank you for mentioning the solvency and the position of the fund, is that there was a time when this fund was effectively insolvent and the council had to reduce expenditures. And that was a difficult challenge for us. We went line by line and determined what was the most important program to continue out of the IMF. It also resulted in some budget change proposals that moved expenditures out of the IMF and into the general fund. For example, litigation management, there was some additional land. There was just from a technology standpoint, just a lot of, you know, collaboration. And I think what's good is we do have a large fund balance. That's in large part due to audits conducted by the controller, who's identified that there's some incorrect deposits of revenues and has resulted in some large one-time revenues from revenue distribution process. We know that's a complicated thing. But what it also is good is we have a backstop in the budget that includes language that if we do need funds, that there is a backfill process. And so that is helpful because I think we've demonstrated through our own reductions and the information that we provided to the Department of Finance and the legislature that they do support these core expenses going forward. But it is not a place where we have room to expand. That's why it was important that we got the modernization VCP for technology a few years ago. That does give us an opportunity to refresh some systems that this fund just doesn't have the ability to do.
Thank you, good reminder. All right, we have a motion and a second to approve the recommendations that Mr. Castillo outlined and referenced in the material. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. The recommendations are approved as presented, and the matter will appear on the July 18th Judicial Council agenda. All right. Thank you, Mr. Castillo. So item number 2, also a subject coming from TICFAC. This is the CARE Act allocations for the fiscal year 25-26. Judge Conklin is going to present, along with Kelly Ragsdale from the Center for Families, Children, and the Courts. Judge Conklin?
Thank you very much. So more accurately, I'm about to turn it over to Kelly so she can present this important topic. It is an allocation from the CARE Act. The only thing I'll say before I turn it over to Kelly is, contrary to years past, now all courts have CARE Act allocations. So this is now impacting all 58 courts, importantly so. And we're going to ask you to approve those allocations that Kelly's about to explain. Don Will is also on the screen with us, but Kelly will be presenting. Kelly?
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Kelly Ragsdale, and I'm a senior analyst with the Center for Families, Children, and the Courts. The fiscal year 25-26 governor's budget allocates $32.9 million for CARE Act trial court operations. The methodology used in this report was approved by JBBC and the Judicial Council in 2023 and was applied to allocate fiscal year 24-25 CARE Act funds. TICBAC recommends applying the existing methodology for 25-26 funds, which gives each court a base allocation for operations and then distributes the remaining funds pro rata using the workload formula, and this includes a 0.5% reserve. The main difference, as Judge Conklin mentioned, between 24-25 and 25-26 funding is that now all courts are implementing the CARE Act as of December 1st, 2024. So all courts will receive a full allocation as detailed in Attachment 2A. Additionally, this is also in the report, TICBAC discussed the opportunity for potential updates to the existing methodology in future fiscal years to ensure that courts receive funding aligned with CARE Act workload once more data is available from all courts. And that concludes my brief presentation. My colleagues and I are happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Kelly. And I'll just highlight a comment that Kelly just made for those of you, if anybody were on the TICBAC meeting. This is, TICBAC is going to consider this back through FMS, because we do recognize that as the CARE Acts roll out to the courts, the allocations for those courts will be used in different ways. And so some courts may, for lack of a better description, be under-resourced and others over-resourced. And that was brought up during our TICBAC meeting, and we'll continue to address that and hopefully be able to shift the allocations effectively to the courts that use money in different ways than other courts do.
I think the function of that, the function of that conversation is what you described, but also we just don't have enough data at this point in time to really have that conversation be very meaningful. So if perhaps, you know, a year from now or a year early in 2026, we'll have some data that can inform that decision. But I think that's an important thing to highlight. So thank you both. And of course, in the materials also is highlighted the, you know, the final allocation of the 32.9 million is dependent on whether it's in the budget and gets finally approved. So with that caveat or that understanding, or did anybody have any questions? Seeing any hands? If not, can we have a motion? The recommendation is on the second page of the narrative.
I'll move to approve.
Thank you, Judge Bakke. Move to approve.
Yamasaki seconds.
And Mr. Yamasaki has seconded. Thank you. Unless there's any further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Thank you. The motion passes. Thank you, Ms. Ragsdale. And Judge Conklin, we'll turn back to you for item number three, which is an action item as well. The materials are pages 17 through 48. This item is the TICBAC recommendation regarding allocation methodologies for potential future funding reductions and restoration. The words being very important. I will turn it over to you, Judge Conklin.
Thank you very much, Judge Mormon. So, yeah, I'm just stating the obvious. What you folks just did was approved two items that deal with actual allocations. Now, the third item is a proposed allocation methodology for future years. So I'm just stating the obvious again. We're in 24-25. These address 25-26 and future years out for these methodologies. And this is, you know, we always plan ahead for the worst. As Zlatko just said, we anticipate there might be some more rough years ahead, and this is to address that. And those are for those years when we have, as we did in this year, a reduction. And then coinciding with that, a possible restoration of that reduction. So it's really a two-step process. I'm about to turn it over to Oksana Tuck to detail that, but I just want to clarify that this will not impact the 25-26 allocations that have just been approved and that are in existence. Those are moving forward. This has gone through FMS. FMS had significant and spirited meetings on this. We started addressing this in early fall of 2024. We've come up with this methodology. It comes to you now through TICBAC. With essentially a unanimous recommendation save for one member. And these methodologies also recognize that we are our actual allocations are dictated by budget language. So unless the funding is designated as a restoration for a specific prior fiscal year, it'll be treated as new money. And that's important in deciding how the money is rolled out, considering equity and transparency. So that's just the framework of what you're talking about, but Oksana is now going to give you the details, and I turn it over to her. Oksana, thank you.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Oksana Tak. I'm a senior analyst with Budget Services. So agenda item number 3 considers allocation methodologies for potential reductions and restorations of funding that could be included in future budgets for the trial courts. This item begins on page 17 in your materials. The discussion of topics for reductions and funding restorations methodologies began at the October 30th, 2024 meeting when members of the Funding Methodology Subcommittee, known as FMS, looked at allocation methodologies used for previous instances and continued their discussions at 3 additional meetings. For the reduction methodologies, Judicial Council staff prepared 3 different options. Each methodology included court's workload formula need and allocation amount. The following are options that were considered: the pro rata reduction allocation, reverse workload formula equity reduction allocation with reduction limitation, and a reverse workload formula equity reduction allocation without reduction limitation. The FMS and sequentially the TICPAC at its April 16, 2025 meeting recommended the last option because it promotes funding equity, stability, and predictability, and is consistent with the existing workload formula policy. The recommendation is consistent with prior Judicial Council approved methodology, the most recent example being fiscal year 24-25 allocation of the $97 million reduction due to the state's projected multi-year budget shortfall. For model purposes, a hypothetical example of a $100 million reduction using this methodology is shown in attachment 3A, utilizing 4% band around the statewide average funding level. The FMS also discussed various funding restoration options and first approved an allocation methodology recommendation for a funding restoration that occurs in the same fiscal year that the reduction took place. The subcommittee recommended using the initial methodology, which would be recalculated with the restored funding. The initial reduction amount is backed out of the formula and recalculated with the revised reduction amount after the restoration. The TICPAC concurred with FMS recommendation, which is the same methodology that was approved by Judicial Council at its February 21, 2025 business meeting for the current year partial $42 million restoration of the initial $97 million reduction included in the Budget Act of 2024. This option is displayed in attachment 3B. Finally, FMS considered allocation methodology options for restoration of funding in the future fiscal years that follows the reduction in the prior fiscal year. The subcommittee determined that a restoration would be identified as restoration in nature and guided by a specific Budget Act language that associates the restoration with a prior reduction. The FMS discussed the restoration methodology option, such as restoration of funding exactly how it was reduced, restoration via workload formula methodology based on each court workload formula allocation and need amount, pro rata restoration allocation based again on each quarter workload formula need and allocation amount. And lastly, the workload formula is duration with equity adjustment. The FMS recommended the second option, which is the restoration methodology based on existing council-approved workload formula methodology calculated on the workload formula need amount, as displayed for model purposes in attachment 3C, using a hypothetical example of 50 million restoration. This option was chosen because it provides a more tailored approach, support finding equity, and aligns with workload formula principles of stability and predictability. Once again, the TIGBank agreed with this FMS recommendation. For reference, the edited version of trial court funding and workload formula resource guide is displayed in attachment 3D beginning on page 26. This document is also posted on the Judicial Resources Network. As a reminder, it is a living document which will be periodically updated with new information as needed. With that, today the committee is asked to deliberate on establishing long-term strategies to allocate potential future funding reductions and restorations and approve the TIGBank recommendations as listed on pages 21 and 22 of the materials. This recommendation will be considered by Judicial Council at its upcoming July 18, 2025 business meeting. That concludes our presentation, and we're happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Oksana, thanks so much. And thank you, folks. And she has, Oksana has just clarified this, the recommendations of page 21 and 22. And I want to clarify, this is still, it's not a moving target, but it's an allocation methodology that is under continued consideration for refinement and improvement. So as we move forward, we are aware of ongoing issues. And as you are all aware, the way the money is described and the way it is ultimately decided impacts how it's allocated. So whether this be a new money year, a flat year, a no new money year, dictates then how that money goes out to the courts, considering the goals of equity and predictability. So one of the issues that we believe is rolling back to and will be considered by FMS as we move forward is the whether or not, if there's, as we saw in this year, there's a reduction and then is a restoration, is that restoration considered new money or not? So we're very aware that that's something that needs to be ultimately clarified in these methodologies, and that will be on FMS's agenda as we move forward with this. But the current methodology, we are confident, allows us to move forward, and we ask you to approve it.
All right, thank you, Judge Conklin and Ms. Tuck. Thank you both very much. The materials are very good. And I too just wanna underscore the, not only that FMS is gonna continue to look at this based on, you know, what their realities of funding reductions and allocations and restorations might be, but the language and the recommendation is very precise for a reason. We're not changing our allocation methodologies that have been thus far approved for quote unquote new money. We're talking about restoration as that's been defined in the recommendation, and it may, so the, in reality and in application, that how the funding is described by the body that's allocating it, that being the legislature, is going to determine which of the allocation methods get employed in the future. And it will be helpful for us to, when we're looking at refining what the recommendations may need to be in the future. Did you want to add anything?
Of course. Planning. I mean, this is, for all the things that have been said, this is something where I think after sort of the Great Recession and the terrible cuts and how they all were done and the methods that the council made, you know, there was a sense when we first did the workload formula, how we should look at restorations. It was, and cuts, it was as they come, as they come. But I think that we're in a place where to give folks a sense of planning for if something were to be proposed in the budget, then we have a method we could point to, unless there's specific language that otherwise directs us. But this, I think, gives, you know, in a plus or a minus situation, an opportunity for the courts to plan. And I think that that's beneficial. I think that ultimately is something that will help us, because it takes time if we're doing it brand new every year to go through that process. And if you look at the materials, you'll see there was 4 FMS meetings that discussed this and other issues. And so there's just been a lot of work put into it in a sort of a thoughtful path to have a good place for us to go. Again, even in bad times, knowing what that might look like earlier rather than later helps manage the courts. And that, I think, is the benefit of on both sides, having courts know where we might be going as we recommend this to the council.
Yeah, as Lako, as always, makes an excellent point. Planning, the other factor that was discussed in our most recent TICAC meeting last week was predictability and planning. So there was some discussion about being able to allocate from an equity perspective of those courts, and I'm getting a little bit into the weeds, below the statewide funding average. And as counterintuitive as it sounds, we don't want to flood those courts with too much of a reallocation that they can't predict and plan for, but sometimes having too much money on board is as difficult to accommodate as having not enough money on board. So Zlatko makes an excellent point in that regard.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so yeah, Zlatko's got another commitment. So we'll thank you for your time today. Any questions, Ms. Yamasawa?
I don't have any questions. Just some added commentary and just to go back to some of the things that Judge Conklin had mentioned, is that the discussion and considerations that were taken up by the subcommittees and TICVAC were in fact very spirited. And part of that discussion involved recognition of some of the policies and principles that drove the funding methodology from the beginning to where we are today. It has undergone a lot of refinements along the way. Unfortunately, we have experience with reductions, and we dealt with that in a very principled way so as not to accelerate the reduction to some courts that may have been above the statewide average. In consideration of what you just said, Judge Conklin, is that moving some of the money from one spot to the other creates in itself some challenges in order to be very reasoned and measured in some of the ways to spend those resources. But the other thing that I think is important to remember is that as changes occur to the different courts at times of low budget years, so to speak, we need to recognize that courts cannot sustain massive reductions just to remain focused on equity. So everything has to be done very gradually, very measured. The whole notion about predictability, Orange is an example, has been a court that's been above the statewide average, is currently now below the statewide average. So that movement makes it very difficult for courts to move from year to year if we were to accelerate the redistribution of funds, if in fact there is a reduction that we experience. So I think that we have moved very appropriately at the appropriate speed, recognizing the need to constantly improve equity when no equity funding is within our appropriation. But we have been very, very cognizant of the impact of budget cuts, as well as making sure that as funding is restored or we receive new money, that it is done in a way that floats all of the courts upward. And so I am very thankful that we continue to rely upon the principles and policies that were earlier established by the Judicial Council in recognizing that this is a gradual process, that we will try to accelerate or improve the funding levels of all of the different courts, but we have to do it with principles and recognition that they've been put in place so as not to create enormous challenges along the way. So I thank you very much for allowing a lot of the courts to participate in the discussions and taking them into consideration for this body to also assess and support.
Great, thank you, Mr. Yamasaki. Any other comments or questions today? If not, then there's several parts to the recommendation. It does appear on the next to the last page of the narrative. If there's someone who's comfortable, I'll invite a motion.
I'd be happy to move approval of the recommendations.
All right, thank you, Mr. Yamasaki.
Is there a second?
Justice Fujisaki, second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, that's a big lift. Good job.
Thanks so much.
Particularly to FMS, but all of TICFAC, because I know the conversation was spirited and involved everyone. So thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate all your considerations, Zlatko and Fran and Budget Services. And hold on, folks, because it's coming. So thanks very much.
Yeah.
Judge, did I hear that they, and not on the approval side, so I didn't ask questions, but the $40 million funding that may get next year is not using this formula, or it will use this method?
No, if we get the $40 million in the May revise, I think we're using the pre-existing allocation methodology.
That's what I was clarifying. Okay, so I want to be sure that was what it was. Thank you.
Thanks, all.
Okay. Thank you, Judge Conklin. So our last item on the agenda today is, if you may recall, when we had our meeting to hear presentations on budget change concepts, there were two that were not ready to be presented at that time, and we're going to have those presentations today. There's no action to be taken today. These concepts will be moved forward with the list of the ones we did hear about, and at our May meeting, which everybody please note in your calendar, it is set aside to be 3 hours. I'm not sure it'll take 3 hours, but it's likely to take at least two, and maybe three. So just be aware. But we do have our presenters today. We have the first presenter will be Angela regarding 2606, the trial court data analytics. Leah.
It's going to be me, Judge Mormon.
Leah Rose Goodwin, one of our heroes, especially in the data department, Chief Data Office, Judicial Council, Research Analytics and Data. She's going to present on 2606, and then Tamara will join us for the next one. Okay, Ms. Rose Goodwin.
Thank you, Judge Mormon. I would like you to always introduce me.
Done.
Very nicely done. No, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And thank you for making the time to hear about the concept. We had a reschedule of our Data Analytics Advisory Committee meeting earlier this winter, which meant that we weren't able to get DAX approval of this concept before your previous meeting. So we're a little bit out of sync with the rest of the concepts, but following this meeting, we will resynchronize with the group, and this concept will track with the rest of them in May. Just very briefly, the topic here is that we're seeking greater investment or additional investment in a data analytics platform that will expedite the way that data can be transmitted between courts and the Judicial Council for statewide reporting, such as the court statistics report, and that will give courts access to a basic set of analytic tools to let them do their own data-driven decision-making. We're approaching this project in a phased approach. We've had incremental investments in previous years that have let us prove out the technology with smaller small groups of courts. And this next request is going to make the platform available to the remaining 58 courts. By the time that this proposal is submitted to Department of Finance this summer, we should have sufficient information in our pilot phase to demonstrate that this solution would fulfill GPSIS data reporting and provide access to those analytics. The request is for both positions to support the platform as well as technology costs associated with the platform. Some of the funding is one-time in nature and some is ongoing. The proposal that isn't part of your meeting material specifies positions and dollar amounts, but just note that we are refining those requests in partnership with JCIT and the other parts of council that support this platform, and there might be some modifications in the final proposal. I'm going to leave it short with that and be happy to answer any questions that you, Judge Foreman, or the committee might have.
Okay, thank you. Obviously, this is this budget change concept is in the spirit of our commitment, our branch-wide commitment to improve not only the articulation or definition of the data that we need to collect, but also the actual collection and sharing, as Ms. Rose Goodwin also emphasized. And put it out there, I'm a strong believer that, you know, the story our data tells and how we tell it will be a very fundamental piece of how we go forward in explaining ourselves and what our needs are to the legislature as well as to the executive. And so I thank you. This has been a really kind of a revolution going on within the branch, the collection, definition, storage, and maintenance of data. So thank you to you and your staff. All right, so does anybody have any questions? Yes, Justice Fujisaki.
Sure. This may be a dumb question. Does the proposal include costs for like data security, or is that something separate?
No, it definitely, that is a really good question. I work very closely with John Yee and the JCIT team to make sure that the solution that we are proposing meets all of the security requirements. So it's built into the technology approach that's being proposed for this project. There's no supplemental or additional cost for security, but in partnering with IT, we have to adhere to all of the security guidelines and principles that they put forward.
Good. Thank you. Okay, any other questions? Not, I'll allow Ms. Rose Goodwin, very busy person, to go on her way. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Tamara, are you out there?
Yes, I'm here, Judge Mormon.
Hello. All right, so our next concept, and it will be the last concept to be included in our group to consider at our May meeting, appears on your chart as number 26-15, and it concerns capital outlay funding for the fiscal year 26-27 through 2030-31. Tom Armed is our presenter today. Go ahead.
Thank you, Judge Mormon and members of the committee. Again, my name is Tamer Ahmed. I'm the Director of Facility Services. So in this request, the Judicial Council would be requesting $711 million in fiscal year 26-27 for 8 capital outlay projects, including 2 new and 6 continuing projects. At the March 25 meeting of the Court Facilities Advisory Committee meeting, the committee reviewed this proposal, approved the draft budget change concept, with a caveat that facility services would study and reduce costs for 2 future projects on the 5-year plan for Kern and Orange Superior Courts. The CVAC will review the complete draft judicial branch, a 5-year infrastructure plan for fiscal year 26-27 in May of 2025 for recommendations to the Judicial Council in July of 2025. This is typically a yearly ask for the capital program as to satisfy the judicial branch 5-year infrastructure plan. And this funding is goes under the governor's capital infrastructural plan that the governor considers every year as in his governor's budget. The two new projects are the Clear Lake and the new East County courthouse building. And the six continuing projects are for San Luis Obispo, Solano, San Joaquin, Nevada, Plumas, and Los Angeles. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, any questions? Thank you, Tamar. Not seeing any hands. Obviously, our facilities needs are annual and ongoing. So thank you for this information, super helpful. I don't think we have any questions today, but it will be discussed at our May meeting. So thank you, Tamar. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
All right, unless someone has something they'd like to discuss today, that does conclude our agenda. Not seeing any hands, just remember May 16th, we will have a very substantive meeting about the budget change concepts and be finalizing hopefully our recommendations for adoption at the July Judicial Council meeting. We will have the benefit of the governor's revise, absent something extraordinary that I don't expect to occur. So if there's nothing further, we'll stand in adjournment and see you all later. And we'll wait for the recording to conclude.